गुरुर्विष्णु गुरुर्देवोमहेश्वरः गुरुस्साक्षात् परब्रह्म तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. ध्यानमूलं गुरोर्मूर्तिः, पूजामूलं गुरोत्पदं, मन्त्रमूलं गुरोर्वाक्यं, मोक्षमूलं गुरोर्गुहा. ॐ सदा भवतु सदा भवतु सहदेवं करमामहे
Could you speak to me about eternal forgiveness?
Before that, perhaps as part of it, someone asked about how does one use the mantra? No, practically, day to day living. I think there also there is a bit of a difficulty. I must make it habitual without making it mechanical. It must become part of my consciousness, but not become mechanical, automatic. The mantra must go on, must be part of my mind. That's the whole idea of synchronizing it with the breath and repeating the mantra, so that it becomes as continuous, unbroken, as the breathing. There are a few sutras in the Narada Bhakti Sutras and also one verse in the Bhagavad Gita which insists on Ananyas Chintayanto Mam. He who remembers me constantly, remembers me by repeating the mantra constantly. The same idea is expressed in the sutras also. How to make it constant? Constant. Swami Shivananda also used to insist upon it. Constant namasmarana. Unbroken remembrance. But one should distinguish this constant remembrance from mechanical remembrance. It's not an automatic action, but it's constant, and from there this constant vigilance also arises. I must constantly repeat the mantra without making it mechanical. Now first let's come to the mechanics of it and then see how to take the mechanics out of it. As soon as I come to the waking state in the morning, even before kicking yourself out of bed, the mind begins to repeat the mantra. Whatever be your mantra may be, oh, so on. And there itself it starts. Then here we have to walk down and come to the meditation hall, but in your own home it is possible quietly to slip out of bed, have a little wash or something and come back without really letting the world wake up within you. If that is somehow possible to be achieved, that's the ideal. Before all this riot commences in the brain, if one can slip out of bed, just dash a little cold water on the face and come back and sit. Then now again the mantra is, this time, deliberately started. If you like, you can sit in your... here, the sitting posture is important. Otherwise you go out to sleep again. And now you may whisper the mantra, you may sort of lisp the mantra. And there is a way of doing it where it's heard more within than outside. If you do it for a few minutes, you think you are a bell tower, right? There's this bell going on, and you have the same resonance, resounding the bell. The speed here is depending upon your mood at that time. It's no rule regulation. If you like, you can use a mala at that time. If you're really too sleepy, use the mala. And then gradually the tempo slows down and you're no longer repeating the mantra aloud. Now it is synchronized, linked to the breathing. And as you breathe in, you repeat the mantra once. As you breathe out, you repeat the mantra again. And if the mantra, your mantra happens to be fairly long, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, it's too long. Or Kiri Eleison, Kristi Eleison, it's too long. Break it into two halves. One half while inhaling, one half while exhaling. That's possible. And then the whole process must start. Where does the sound come from? If you feel sleepy, it's all right. It's not such a great tragedy that I should go out to sleep. Nod. I slept for 6 hours, 8 hours. 5 more minutes is not going to send me quicker to hell. People make such a big fuss about it. So it's, that's the only sin they have committed. I killed a mosquito. Was it all right? Hundreds of human beings. Right. So, without me getting worked up about all these small things, I'm watching the breathing, I'm listening to the mantra, and as the consciousness is getting closer and closer to me, doze off, right? Doze off, get up, start again. When you get up and start again, you are here. The idea is to find the threshold. Where is the door? Where is the door? It is neither in nor out. Neither am I sleeping nor am I awake. What is it to fall asleep? And I'm using the mantra as a key. I've inserted the key in the door. Quietly I'm opening it. I don't want to get in completely. And I don't want to remain outside completely either. Can I open the door and just step inside? What does it feel like? Just to step inside, just to be on the threshold. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It's quite possible that if some of you are terribly advanced, you may do it tomorrow morning. Or it's possible that you may take about 2 to 3 thousand years. That's not important. This is something which is happening at least 6 times a day. at least 6 times a day. Sort of calculating at the rate of 2 or 3 disturbances a night. You go to sleep, you wake up and then you sleep out sleeping again. So that you don't sleep in one continuous session. And maybe you sleep a little in the afternoon. So at least 6 times a day this happens to you. You pass through that threshold. How is it that I do this 6 times a day and yet I do not know what I did, what happened to me? I get into it while I sleep and I get out of it when I wake up. And still I don't know what exactly happens to me. How do I fall asleep? And there is your salvation, there is your liberation. If you can see that when I am neither asleep nor awake, neither inside nor outside. The mantra is the key, I have turned the lock. Can you hold it there for a little while? Seems to be so simple, but usually you either fall there or here. This is a lovely little exercise which can go on for some time. Well, if you are a bhakta, if you are a devotee of God, feel, generate all the feeling, all the bhavana, all whatever you want. Very good, lovely. Carry on. Then I get up and come out. There is no contradiction. I can use both the methods. I can repeat my mantra feeling that I am offering worship. With each mantra, I am offering the flower at the feet of the deity. That helps concentration also. It's something which is doing. Dynamic. So, it helps concentration. Once the mind is concentrated, I want to juggle with the mind and try to see what the mind is like. When the mind is too dull, I come back to my puja, worship. I use the mantra and go on offering a flower with every repetition of a mantra. There is no contradiction here at all, and there is nothing to worry about. We can combine all these methods. As many methods as you read about, hear about, or come, put all of them together. That's what I suggest even when teaching Hatha Yoga. Yoga asanas. They say, but so-and-so says, so-and-so, so-and-so says, so-and-so, so-and-so says. Which is right? All are right. For a few minutes do like this, for a few minutes do like that, for a few minutes do like this. Then find out for yourself. Your body will tell you what the right technique is.
Are you suggesting that to create this community?
Why not? Why not?
It seems whimsical.
Right? Yes, yes. I sit like Zen holding the egg. See what it does to you. And I do this sometimes. see what happens. As a matter of fact, I know, incidentally, he used to call it Anchaneya Asana, Anchaneya posture. Swami Shivananda never sat like this. He had a little stoop all the time, just a little stoop all the time, and he used to say that's the gesture, not so much a posture, but a gesture of Hanuman. It is a little, but I'm sitting at the feet of God who is the master. So in front of a master you don't sit like this, you sit a bit there, exactly like that. You don't want to show off, I am a big yogi, you know, straight.
It was important for the spine.
Right, right. The spine. First even throat. In her case, it, the spine is right, straight.
<That's> right.
It's important to keep the spine straight. But then, if you ask any doctor or nurse here, the spine is never straight. There is a natural curve to it, and the curve is natural. The backbone is never straight. You can sort of pull it into your traction, and then you are finished. Right? He's sitting, he appears to be sitting erect. But if you take an X-ray, the spine is still curving. So, all that is good textbook, but I'm not good practice. That was exactly the posture in which I have seen Swami Shivananda sit all the time. Just a little stoop. And he explained once that that is Hanuman. That is little humble, not quite straight and still. Anyhow, again, that's his view. You must find your what is good for you. So there is no harm in combining all this.
When you say combining all this,
all these different facets of the same thing, same technique. I am using the mantra. There I am not giving up. I am using the mantra. But while using the mantra, I am sometimes using the mantra as an act of worship of a personal deity. I am visualizing Vishnu, Rama, Venkatesha, Krishna, whatever it is. And with each repetition of the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, I am offering a flower mentally. I am using the whole thing as an act of worship. So that here there is a dynamic form of japa. The mind is busy so that it doesn't go to sleep. It's not dull. Then once I see that the mind is fairly quiet and awake, or too much awake, then I trace the sound to its own source. Quiet state. If the mind is too quiet and it wants to fall asleep, I wake myself out. Dang it. And all the time trying to see where exactly is the door. This is a very interesting thing. And then you will also discover in your own practice, whatever be the rules of the game, you will discover that the mind does not respond to the same soup all the time. The same technique or the same method all the time. So, without losing sight of the basic aim or goal or the meaning, the sense of the practice, you may have to vary the things a little bit. One of my friends wrote to me a few days ago. He said, every time I sit down, I feel restless. I don't want to do it anymore. This is another problem. Right? I am restless. I don't want to sit. I don't want to sit down. I don't want this mala. I throw it away. Then what do? Get up and walk up and down. And you find it's a most blissful form of meditation. For meditation, one doesn't have to sit down or stand up. You can keep walking. And while walking and listening to your own footfall, and now you associate, synchronize the mantra with the footfall. You're walking rhythmically and the mantra goes on and there is a blissful, wonderful meditative mood. What's wrong with that?
How about not using the mantra, but doing a more Buddhist kind of thing, varying, using the mantra and not using the mantra.
Ah, that's where one can slip away and not recover at all.
So you would
why
say...
Why not give the mantra? Unless it slips away of its own accord, why not keep the mantra? We are, of course, I mean, partly we are discussing on the basis of using the mantra.
But you would say...
It's all right, I mean, there is no objection. But I would still prefer to use the mantra. Even the Buddhist way, if you go a little deeper into it, they also use some kind of, something.
In, out,
one, two, or counting, etc., etc. And for instance, the Zen practitioners, they, when they break the, what they call the walking meditation, during the walking meditation, they either recite the sutra, have the sutra recited by somebody else and listen to it, so that that goes on in your mind. Hanya haramita, and then you can come and sit down. Hanya haramita goes on in your mind.
Yes, I found it really puzzling that sometimes I can be very uncomfortable and still fall asleep. I'm really, I've got a, if I've been sitting for a long time, I have a lot of pain in my legs, but I still fall asleep.
Yeah, the pain doesn't keep you awake, not necessarily. The mind may want to forget the pain and so fall asleep. Yo, it's pretty crazy. If I have understood the mind, I have understood the body. So that goes on for about half an hour or so. It is good to... I'm sorry, I didn't do that. Anyhow, I can be remissive. It is good to fix a certain time, period of time, like we do here in the morning. From this hour to that hour. Whether it is raining, shining, snowing, it doesn't matter what it is. This time, this period is set apart for this work. And regardless of the mood of the mind, whether it is concentrated or not concentrated, happy or unhappy, spiritual or unspiritual, divine or diabolical, I'm not interested in all that. 6 or 7 o'clock, I sit down. My mind is in Canada, it is very good. Thank you very much. No, it's going to Mexico, right? Go. Okay. It's completely, totally restless, right? Be restless. 6:45, 7:45, I'll get up. Never mind what you do, my friend. 7:45, I'll let you go. Yeah. Want to sleep? Sleep here. It's no harm. I'm not asking you not to sleep. I'm not asking you not to do anything you like, but sit here. 7:45, get up and go.
Is it important not to break the posture during that period that you sleep?
Preferably. That is what Swami Satchidananda has said in one of his talks. This is a standard procedure, and he explains it very beautifully. Control of the mind will follow later, but learn to control the body first. This is something which you can do, right? The body can be controlled. The body can be made to sit there. It's not so easy to deal with the mind. Who was it? St. Augustine or someone else? St. Augustine. You published it in the life. The mind asks the commands the body, and the body obeys. And the mind commands the mind, the body doesn't obey. The mind commands the body to sit down, stand up, and the body obeys meekly. But the mind commands the mind, that doesn't obey. Okay, you don't obey, don't obey. I'm serious in a very limited sphere. I'm serious in this. 7 to 7:45, I'm going to sit down. You think of all fish and chips, go on, think of fish and chips. That's also God ultimately, yes? This is Swami Satchidananda's instruction. Stick to that time, refuse to move, and prolong it as much as possible. Prolong it as much as possible. Prolong it to a even to a state of discomfort. If there is discomfort, all right. That's not the only time I've had to endure discomfort. Is it the only time your knees have bothered you? No. You've had it lots of times. One more. This is not the only time I've ever had to endure discomfort. This is one more. So, bring that and under your control, which means you are studying yourself. It's not blind use of will force. You're watching yourself, you're studying yourself, you're seeing this, the inner cinema. How the mind starts rebelling, how it plays, and how it tries to fool you. Another... let us finish that. Many of the yogis insist upon all these. The same time, the same place, and if possible using the same dress, facing the same direction, and possibly even using the same kind of incense or nonsense, whatever you are using. It's a pure psychological thing, conditioning the mind, deliberately using the conditioned reflex technique, Pavlov. So that the moment the incense enters your nostrils, the mind goes into meditation. It's meditation time. And the moment the clock strikes that time, it's meditation time. So the same seat, the same way, facing the same direction. And the type of yogi is known as tantrics, they insist upon it. They have a particular type of meditation seat and nobody, they wouldn't allow you to touch it. They have certain dress, and I know of some people who keep their other dress outside and take off all that, throw it away, come and walk in naked and put this on and sit on for the meditation. And of course, again, they are fanatic and they wouldn't let you use their meditation room. All these are helpful. What happens if I'm sitting for my morning meditation or japa, and then suddenly I remember you all, or I remember somebody else. You are being very kind, very nice, gentle, sweet. And I'm sitting in Germany. Suddenly I remember this place, all of you. What do I do with this? And sometimes, someone was not so nice to you, you remember them also. What do you do with all those things? There was a wonderful man in India called Upasani Baba. He was a disciple of the original Sai Baba, not this one. And it seems he used to say, well, what's wrong with that? What are you doing? You are repeating your mantra. And you are sure that the mantra invokes the grace of God, right? That's your belief, that's your faith. And while you are doing so, you are thinking of somebody else, your friend. That means, on the one hand, you are linking yourself with the divine. On the other hand, you are linking yourself with this friend. That friend also will get a little bit of your merit. Go ahead. What about the other way around? Someone insulted me, etc. And that person also comes to my mind during meditation. He said, okay, that's also even better. And the same divine power or grace will flow to the other person, the hostile person, and probably change him.
don't really struggle with
it. Don't really struggle with it, right. Correct.
Supposed to struggle.
If you go on struggling, you can go on struggling. It's nice. The mind likes to struggle. And in order to struggle, the mind creates its own obstacle. That's a very nice thing.
So you just go with the mind.
I don't go anywhere. Why must I go? I don't go with the mind, I don't struggle with it. I am sitting here and I am repeating the mantra. These two I am doing. I am sitting here and I am repeating the mantra. Anything else happened, but it's business, not mine. And he says, if the mind remembers a friend, the merit that accrues on account of the mantra will also flow to him or her. And if the mind remembers a non-friend, the effect of the mantra will also be felt by him or her. So, this is merely to not to enable you not to get worked up about it.